Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. We are 8 lines from the top. We are starting with the words Veha'amar Shmuel. Our learning is once again sponsored. Lu'ilu Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. I just wanted to start, actually, by mentioning, I thought it was Mamash Hashkacha Pratis, a Chsam Sofer on this week's Parsha that I saw quoted, and it's Mamash exactly this Mishnah, and it's in this week's Parsha, so it's really amazing. So again, we have the sheet of Machlokes Bisham and Bis Hillel. According to Bis Hillel, that in a situation where you have somebody who is pressing you, if you have the robber or the moches or different people, so you're allowed to even add on to the neder, right? We said that the robber can add on. We had a ketzad, konim eshtin, hennesli, and you said not just ishti, bana, you added to show that this is a true valid neder, really, because you're trying to show him that you're saying something which is accurate. Really, you're not. The whole thing is inaccurate. It's not a neder, but you're trying to add to it. So based on this halacha, the Chassam Sofer has a fascinating pshat in the psukim when it says, the pasuk says, vayikra avimelech li yitzchak, vayomer ach hina ishticha hi. So the Avimelech is asking Yitzchak, how did you say that? Why did you say Yishtu? You said that it's your sister. So in the Shailas of Tshuva Sarama, that Rivka was really Yitzchak should have been usher to Rivka by saying that he is his sister because Shavu Nasha Chaticha Yisura. So then afterwards he makes the Namlasa. He says that at the end of the day he says to Avimelech. He says that no, because I was being choshish from Avimelech. He says that Avimelech was the reason I said she's my sister, but really she's not. To this, Avimelech responds and says, wait a second, if it was just saying that it had to be Usher, so why does it have to, why Usher to me Avimelech, so why didn't you just say that Ishtichahi, why did you have to add Achosi? Why, and that you should be Usher, because you added in Achosi, and that is adding to the Isser to say Ishticha, and I know that she's not, I'm not mutter to be with her, and that's good enough. Why do you have to add in Achosi? So says the Chassam Sofer so beautifully, based on our Mishnah. That was what Yitzchak Avinu was responding. He says, "Vayomer lo Yitzchak ki amarsi penamos aleha." What does it mean? He's saying that just like we hold like Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, that we make a neder for the mochsin and for the robbers. So, and you can add in, you could add in Banai, as we see in our example. So, and you're still, and so to Avir Yitzchak saying that I say Achosihi in order that I should be Neman, and therefore not be killed, even though I already said Ishti, he, and I also said Achosihi. That's what, saying that was not going to be, it was not going to be a problem, because I'm adding that in based on our Mishnah. Fascinating Dion that the Chassam Sofer has on this week's Parsha. Okay, so let's start with the Gemara now. Ve'amar Shmuel, Dina de Malchusa Dina. So the Mishnah was discussing a case about a person who's trying to deceive the tax collector who is following l'chora, the laws of the king, and he's collecting the taxes. L'Shmuel tells us there's a concept called Dina de Malchusa Dina, that the law of the land have legal force. This is a very important concept and principle, even Bisman Azet. And that's something which is, so then how is it that you're allowed to fool and seemingly lie to the tax collector? Mr. Simon is never pushed. You're allowed to lie to the tax collector. The only Shaila was making the neder. How is that going to work? But Pasha, you were allowed to lie to him. So the concept of Dina de Machlus Dina is very interesting. We don't really, Gemara doesn't discuss necessarily why it is the case. So Machlokas, we've shown him about this. The Ron explains, he quotes actually the name of Tosfos, that the concept of Dina de Machlus Dina is because that at the end of the day, all the land belongs to the king. So therefore, he can kick out who he wants, and he can tax those who are living there to just be like Kilu paying rent to him, and therefore he's entitled to that, and he has the privilege of being able to charge that because Ba'etim, it's really his land. So accordingly, the Ran points out, if that's the case, this wouldn't necessarily apply to Eretz Yisrael, to a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael, because we wouldn't say Dina Namachus and Dina, because every Jew has a share in Eretz Yisrael. You have your rights to your family plots, and therefore wouldn't necessarily apply Dina de Malchusa. Other Rishonim disagree. They say that this applies to Jewish kings in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban, and others. So they understand, l'chora, maybe, that this is based on the fact that the people of a country are voluntarily accepting the idea of the laws because it's beneficial to society to have these laws. Therefore, that's something which should therefore be there. And that would apply to anything really that's for public benefit. It's taxes or any laws that is generally good for society to be functioning, that is going to be under Dina Malchusa. Now again, this is all clear that when it's not coming to something which is against halacha, if it's something which is beferish against halacha, that is going to be a very big shaila That the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat seems to say explicitly that the Dina Malchus Dina will not apply. So that's when we have the law of American laws, contrary to, again, obviously, we have to work it out and figure out how we can not, we have to be law-abiding citizens. But that is a very important point when it comes to Dina Malchus Dina. And we were very makbid about this. Also, the tremendous Chil Hashem, forget everything else, the tremendous Chil Hashem that is done when, unfortunately, people are not careful with these inyanim, that is something, obviously, we should be keeping very much in line with and being very careful with as well. So again, we have Dina Malchus Dina, and that applies in America. In Eretz Yisrael, it's actually more of a question, because Eretz Yisrael, if you have laws that are connected the Torah and they're secular laws, that is a very big question. Like, whatever, I'm not getting into all the details of Eretz Yisrael law. I think the Rosh Hashanah always has a whole kuntrus about different, I forgot what it was, like the Medina of Halacha, they have a nice kuntrus about it, how to deal with different things. Like even, let's say, a personal injury case. Like in America, if you're suing a non-Jew, so it's not as complicated when you have a personal injury case or something like that. When Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be against another Jew and taking him to our coast, that is a very, very big question. If that's Bichlal Mutter, that's a very big question. Anyway, so obviously more of the scope of this daf, but that's the concept of Dina Malchus is a huge topic, which is very Nogeya Bizmanazeh as well. So again, the Gemara's question was, how is this going to be Bichlal Shayach that you could lie to the tax collector over here? So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Kehana, Amar Shmuel, B'molcheis she'en lo kitzvah. The Mishnah is referring to specifically a tax collector who doesn't set a limit on the amount that he's collecting. So it's important to know in the times of the Gemara, that the Gemara was talking about it, that a tax collector was somebody who would be, basically the king would give the right to collect the tax. He was like, okay, listen, I want whatever it is, you know, from the Shari Chesed neighborhood, I want you to collect $100,000. And from the Tel Aviv neighborhood, I want you to collect $200,000. That's what I'm demanding. The rest is up to you. So that tax collector, basically, he's paying what the king wants, and then he's basically entitled to overtax and make it basically and not necessarily be, in terms of the letter of the law, of who should be taxing what. Oh, this property, he likes this guy, so he's going to charge him less, he'll charge that guy more, he doesn't care, as long as he's making a little bit of a profit and getting the taxes for the king. So if that's the case, and we're saying he doesn't have a set limit amount that he's collecting, Shmuel's telling us that would not, Dina Malchus Dina would not be in such a circumstance, because he is not, it's unlawful, and it's not even correct, so therefore, that would be something which you're not, you'll have to, and the Gemara has a story about Sanhedrin about that, like, they would tell people to hide, so he doesn't see so many people collecting, overtaxing, so we see that if they weren't doing it fairly, then obviously Dina Malchus Dina would not be kicking in. Another answer the Gemara suggests, Devei Rabbi Yane Amar, B'molcheis Omin Me'elav. We're talking about a self-appointed tax collector who's not even appointed by the king. Since he's not authorized to collect taxes, obviously there is no Dina Malchus Dina to pay him, and it would be permitted to fool him and to lie falsely, kilu, not actually make a real neder against what he's saying, in order to, again, avoid paying him. Shehein shel beis hamelech, the next part of the Mishnah. Ve'av al pi sheheinan shel beis hamelech. So Gemara says, Hecha neder. What type of neder did you make? How does one make a neder? Something that is trumar, belongs to the Malchus, a neder that can do no more than us or something. So lechora, that lechora is going to be many times going to be, if you're just making a neder that's going to be just saying whether something is true or false, that generally is in the category of a shvua rather than a neder, as the Ran points out. So how are you making this as a neder? That's what the Gemara is asking. Amar Rav Amar Amar Rav, Be'omer Ye'asru Peros Ha'ilam Alay Im Inan Shal Beis HaMelech. The Mishnah is referring to a case where a person says that all the fruits in the world should be asr to me if these things that you're not taking do not belong to the king, and therefore this is under the impression that fruits are going to become asr to the madir. If what he's saying is untrue, the robber obviously will think that what he's saying is true and not take those fruits or whatever he's trying to take. Just to try to charge him based on this amount. So Gemara says, Kevan Damar Yasr, but since the guy is making on the neder and the fruits of the world should be asr to him, if what he's saying is not true, so then lechor, the Gemara is saying, Itzru Aleh Kol Peter the Alma. All the fruits of the world will indeed become asr to him, because he kept with the condition of what he said with his neder. He's not absolutely he's not forced to make the neder, completely forced, because at the end of the day, he's not a shayla of onus in terms of a life or death situation. If it's a life or death situation, you're right, the neder isn't chal. But here we're just talking about property. And property you're trying to save by saving money and property, that is just a monetary value. And you don't absolutely have to make this neder. Therefore, you should actually be obligated to keep that neder, even though there was a reason preventing you from making it. So that lechora is a question in the Rishonim, though. Why is this neder taking effect? If everyone realizes the madir clearly does not intend to make this neder, so why is it chal? So the Rishonim point out that if you make this neder using the language that would actually forbid all the fruits to himself forever, the neder wouldn't be chal, since that's impossible. We must be referring to a case where the madir makes some, not all the fruits usher to him. And therefore it is going to be chal. So the Gemara says, be'omer hayom. So you have to explain that the Mishnah is referring to a case where he says that his neder is going to be forbidden for himself only today if what he said was really in fact untrue. So the Gemara says, why would the robber have any reason to fear that he's saying this? So then he says, I swear all the fruits are welcome to me if it's not like I'm saying. Okay, so if it's not like I'm saying, then all the fruits are going to be, not swear, I keep saying swear, but ned amadir, all the fruits of the world, if I'm not saying the MS to you. So then, says the Gemara right now, so he'll think that the tax collector's going to think, okay, he's clearly going to say that it's really not the case, and it'll just be usher for one day. All he's going to be is usher for one day. So the Gemara says, be'omer belibo hayom motzi bisfasas stam. The Mishnah is referring to where he says, belibo, in his heart, that he meant that he's forbidding all the fruits only today, but he's saying with his lips that he is simply saying that the fruits are forbidden to him. And even though we hold generally the what you say in your heart and unspoken are not true, legabe onsin shani, with regards to onus, is going to be shani. So the Ron explains this at length over here, meaning that a neder, that the person doesn't specify what you could mean, is it permanent or temporary? The strong implication usually is that it's permanent. Therefore, under a regular circumstance, the Ron says, we have to assume that the words are meant to be a permanent prohibition, even if the Madrig later claims that he only meant something which is temporary, because dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, and we must follow what is generally spoken. So in the case, however, of ones, the circumstances are actually showing that it's less likely that he meant for a long time, and therefore he really actually doesn't specify what he's saying. And Gabi Onsin, we have the right to assume that he actually meant only for a day. But the guy who is hearing him, the tax collector, is going to think that he really meant for the rest of the life, for as long as he's living, that the fruit should be ushered to him, and therefore that would be over here. So that's a very important point that the Ron is making, that would be the case over here. The Ron extends that, and he actually says that normally when you have something which is also not defined in your neder, so if, let's say, if you don't have a case of onus, a person says, for example, like Madir wants to forbid to eat specifically paschita for whatever reason, he doesn't want to eat wheat bread, but he mentions only bread in his neder. So he forgot to add the condition of wheat when he actually made the neder. Since he did not mean the whole word bread to all the chamishis mini dagon, the Ron says, so therefore he only is talking about the madir taking effect with regards to what he meant, and that was actually not going to be a problem of libo v'shavin. The Ron points out is going to be different than our case, and therefore this would actually be only for one day, because the tax collector doesn't realize this, banger to Gemara over here, that the Madir is making this to convince that he's really saying the truth, but really only meant it for one day, and that would be valid in such a circumstance. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. Beit Shammai Omrim Bakol. Everyone's allowed to make the Neder Bakol. Beit Shammai Omrim B'mashu Madiro. And Beit Shammai continues in saying that with regards to what you demand him to make the Neder, and not anything else. V'sil Omrim Afesh Eina Madiro. Even with what, and he's not demanding to him. Ketzad, makonam ishtu nenli, v'amar konam ishtu banan nenli, v'cham amrim ishto mutaris, v'van of asur, v'yisil omrim eilu v'ilu mutarin. This actually probably could have just quoted this over here, mentioned the Gevaldik Chassam Sofer on this week's Parsha. Okay. So now the Gemara says a Braisa, Amar Rav Huna, Tana Beit Shammai omrim lo yiftach lo b'shvua, that the Beit Shammai says in the Braisa, you should initiate a swearing with an oath. V'yisil omrim apyutach b'shvua, even allowed to initiate an oath. Beit Shammai b'shvu d'lo yiftach lo. So the Braisa implies that only a shvu you're not allowed to initiate with him. Ha b'neder yiftach, you're allowed to initiate a neder. But that's not the case in the Mishnah though. The implication of the Braisa seems to contradict the Mishnah. V'hatra Beit Shammai amrim lo yiftach lo b'neder. Our Mishnah indicates that you should not indicate. It says explicitly one should not initiate a neder with the robber. If the robber forces him, that's one thing. But to initiate it, you shouldn't do on your own to prove what you're saying is correct. V'sum miftach d'lo yiftach lo b'shvu. And further, there's stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Braisa also seems to imply that according to Beit Shammai, it's only with regards to initiating it is it going to be an asr. Hamidr nadir b'shvua, however, to make an oath, that is going to be mutar according to the Braisa, if you're forced to. V'atam Beit Shammai omrim b'chol nodrin chutz mishvua. That we learn allowed to make all types of nidarim to convince the guy what you're saying is really MS. However, you're not allowed to make a shvua because a shvua is more chamar, as we see in Loni and Akei, and Beit Shammai holds it's not okay. So now, lechora, it's indicating over here, it's indicated for the Braisa, that you're allowed to make a shvua if you're forced to, whereas the Mishnah seems to say you're never allowed to make a shvua. So the Gemara says that both the Mishnah and the Braisa are actually going to agree. Tana Masnisin Beneder Lodiach Hakoicha De Veishamai. The Mishnah is telling us that to tell us how far Beit Shammai go, that they forbid initiating even a neder, which is the most makel thing, to even initiate that is going to be a problem. And Tana Braisa Bishvul Adicha Kod Beis Hillel. And the Braisa is telling you how makel Beis Hillel that they permit even to be initiating on your own volition a Shavua to prove your point, which Shavuas are more chamor, right? Beit Shammai doesn't even allow you to do that if you're forced. So with Beis Hillel goes so far as to say you can even initiate a Shavua to prove what you're saying is correct. Again, when we're talking about a case of coercion, that would be what's going on in the over here. That's one answer. Now the Gemara suggests another answer. Ravashi Amar Hachiktani. That this is what the Braisa means. Beit Shammai Amrim Ein She'ela B'Shvua. Beit Shammai says that there is no coming to a Chacham to uproot a Shavua. Like we have a Taras Tadar, we don't have a Taras Shavua, says Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says, no, yes, She'ela B'Shvua. There is, in fact, a She'ela B'Shvua. So according to Ravashi, the Braisa is understood as Beit Shammai Omrim lo yiftach lo b'shvua. It literally means don't make an opening for Hataras Nadarim for a Shvua, because there is no Hataras Nadarim by a Shvua. But Beit Hillel Omrim af yiftach lo b'shvua. Whereas Beit Hillel say a Chacham may even make a Hataras Nadarim with a for Shvuas according to this. So that's the contradicting. Rather, he's resolving it differently. That is different machlokas over here, that whether or not you can be doing Hataras Nadarim and finding a Pesach to annul a Shvua. Beit Shammai says because they're very chamar, you cannot. And Beit Hillel holds that one would be allowed to. Fine. Says the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hare Natios Ha'elu Korban Im Eina Niktosos. If a person makes a neder saying that the saplings of this tree are going to be viewed as Hekdesh to the base of Mikdash if they are not, if they don't fall down, or they're not cut down, they're not broken down. Talis a korban imein on nisrefes. Let the talis be a korban. I mean, it's going to be hektesh if it's not burnt. Yeshlam pidyon. So both of these, if the condition are fulfilled, so then the sapling and the talis are going to be hektesh and must be redeemed. The way you redeem it is you take the value of the saplings, the value of the talis, and you redeem them and bring that money to the base of Mikdash, and that money is used to bring to buy korbanos. And then it's removed from the hekdesh is removed from the item. So the point of the Mishnah is telling us that those are going to be chal, and this is going to be a valid neder. Hare netios elu korban al achik tosuf. A person says that these saplings should be hekdesh, the base of Mikdash, until they fall. Talis a korban achik tisaref, or again, they're knocked down. If you say that, turning on the next amud, ein lahem pidyon. They are not going to be redeemed. The Gemara is going to explain this. So it says the Gemara, v'litni kedushos v'ena kedushos. Why in the Mishnah to say that the condition is fulfilled, they're going to be hektesh, and it's not fulfilled, they are not hektesh. The point of the Mishnah is the items are hektesh. Why does the Mishnah tell us that saying that you have to be redeeming them? Why not just straightforward that it's the idea that they're hektesh or not? Like I had to explain when I was explaining it, they become hektesh, you have to be a pidyon. Why does the Mishnah just skip the stage of saying you need a pidyon and just say they're hektesh? So Gemara says, I did the bite the seifa in lay pidyon, because the specific part, the second half of the seifa, the Mishnah tells us that they are not going to be, they are not redeemed. In the earlier part, the Resha has to tell us they are redeemed. So the language of Mishnah is just parallel. We many times do that, if they remember. They were memorizing Mishnayos. So to parallel it, that's what we mentioned over here. So now the Gemara asks, Hecha Nadar, that the way the Mishnah describes the Tanai is open-ended. But if he made that they should never fall, no tree is going to last forever. So even if the tree survives 1,000 years, it will eventually die and fall. That means that its condition cannot ever be fulfilled. So why are they becoming hektesh? That's what the Gemara is asking over here. Because again, it's a condition that can't be, might be something that never happens. So the Gemara says, Amar Amimar, Ba'omer im ena niktosos hayom. The person is saying that the saplings should be hektesh if they don't fall today. They are not knocked down today. Ba'avrayom ve'lo niktosu, and they in fact are, the day passed, and they aren't knocked down. So maybe we're saying that the Tanai is not an open-ended Tanai, like you're saying it forever, but rather he set a cap on it, he's saying it's by today. Im Kain, the Gemara says, if that's the case, the Mishnah is talking about, La Mali, La Meimar, why do you have to say that the saplings are going to be hektish? Pshita, it should be obvious that that's the case. Lo Tzricha, the Gemara says, no, because Kigon, Diika, Zika, Nefisha. Talking about a case where there's a very strong wind blowing at the time that he makes the neder. The Mishnah is teaching us, although he made the neder, the expectation was the wind would obviously fall and knock down the saplings. If they do not, then it's not, and then it's still going to be chal and it's going to be hektish. The Gemara says, "V'haktani la gabe talis." But we mentioned this halacha with regards to talis that it's not burnt. Now the Gemara asks, "Talis l'sreif v'kaima?" We're talking about a case where the talis over here is stand to be burnt. Obviously not. Normal circumstances, a talis doesn't get burnt. So says the Gemara, we're actually talking about a case specifically where the parallel case would be that you thought it was going to get burnt. Mishnah's talking about a case, there's a fire raging around, and you're afraid it's about to burn your talus, and you said that you're going to be making it a hekdesh if it's saved from the fire. So too, there, the parallel case would be there's a very strong wind coming, and you clearly think it's going to knock down the saplings, and you're going to say, if Hashem saves them from the wind, then you're going to be makdish them. Which really meant the value. The Gemara says, V'silga da'ita chadaita de lo metzilan. Now you would have thought that these items would not be saved, and that's the only reason you make the neder. So then you would have never made them, since he didn't really mean to make this neder. Kamash Malam is telling you that really it is a valid neder, and it's going to be something which is chal. Because again, it's not something which is obvious, it's necessarily going to happen, and therefore he is going to have a valid neder. It's teaching us a chiddush that they are in fact going to be hektish. Okay. The Mishnah says, Haray until Seyul. Korban, these are going to be a korban if they fall. So the Gemara says, Ulu Olam. Is it forever they can't be redeemed? Why should it be this case? The Gemara seems to understand the Mishnah that they are not redeemed, that they can never be redeemed. Why is that? The Gemara says. Amar Padasra. Padah answers that the Mishnah is referring to a case is Padan Chozros Vikadoshas. If you redeem them, they automatically become Kadosh again. Padan Chozros Vikadoshas, if you do that again, it's going to become over and over. Ad Shiktosu until they fall off. Until they're knocked down and they fall off. Rav Padah holds that saying the expression that the saplings are Kadosh until they are knocked down, the Majir is telling us that he wants it to remain in a constant state of hektish until that time. Therefore, until that time, there is no option to redeem them. And that's what Rav Padah is saying. So when we say that they're not redeemed, it doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. It just means from now until the saplings fall off, that is going to be unredeemable. Achik Totsu. So Niktosu Podin Pamachas V'dayo. You can do it one time over, and that's enough, meaning that's going to be okay. At that point, you'd be allowed to redeem them. That's the Shita of Bar Padah. However, Ula comes and says, no, Amar Ula, Kevan Shniktosu Shuv Einan Podim. Once they are knocked down, he no longer needs to redeem them. Since he made a t'nai that their hektish should continue only until they fall off, then once they fall off, it goes on its own, you don't need to redeem them. So it seems to be, according to the Ran, he quotes first the Rashba that says that the Kedushasan is not Magdeshes ala ad she'osos man she'ekdishan. That's man is going to be, you don't need to do any removal of the hektish. You don't need to be poda'it. As opposed to Bar Padah, with all that you need to be poda'it. That is the first explanation of the Ran. The second explanation of the Ran seems to understand that they should, that once it comes on its own, it's going to be a little bit different than that. And Ula's understanding that since his tonight was that it should last only to that point, it's going on its own as soon as they fall, and and you don't need really any action. It's a little very technical difference between the first and second answer. They're very similar. So, but that's the two explanations around. So Mishnah is saying when we're not poed to them, it doesn't mean that they cannot be redeemed. Rather, it's not necessary according to Ula to redeem them. That is the shita of the Ran. Okay. Be'ez Hashem will pick up, I guess, with Amar Le'er of Hamnuna, Mirz Hashem, and tomorrow's daf.